We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Losers, in other words.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back, everybody. Buffalo Bills Football Monday. The Bills off a second straight season-opening win over the Jets, 27-17. One of Eric Wood's tweets yesterday before the game said, and I don't know the backstory here, Eric, but Sal and Chris Brown will not ask me, so I will give you my prediction anyway, 24-14. Pretty close.
That was pretty close. I had the point differential right. I was off by 3 points each way.
Yeah, pretty. Is there something you want to get off your chest about how you were not asked this prediction?
Well, I'm not on the pregame roundtable anymore now that I'm not calling the game.
That's right.
Steve Tasker gets to give his predictions now. I used to have fun betting a coffee for the next week. Who had to pick it up on the way into the stadium with those guys?
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, sorry not to hear you on game days, but I see you're doing ACC Network again. You got to do a Louisville game, and you're doing a lot with the Bills, including this time with us.
Yeah, it feels like the old days getting to do these again. And, yeah, I'm going to try and stay involved with the organization any way I can. With the travel restrictions into New York right now, it made it virtually impossible for me to be able to come up and call the games, and I'm still contracted through ESPN, so I work Saturdays. I couldn't get up there in time to pass the COVID test, but if we get back to normalcy in any way, shape, or form by the end of the season, hopefully I'll be calling games again, but we'll take it as it goes.
All right. Well, we're happy to have you back on our show, and we hope that you're back in that broadcast booth, really soon, sooner definitely than later. So 24-14 was your pick. 27-17 ends up being the score. Did you envision the kind of passing game that the Bills ended up having and Josh Allen ended up having when you were thinking about what the game would go like, Eric?
You know, if I was racked before the game, I'd have said, you know, Josh is going to set a career high for yards and completions, and I would have predicted it perfectly. But in all seriousness, I think Brian Daboll has done a very good job throughout his tenure of trying to attack the opponent's weaknesses. And going into that game, the strength of that defense was going to be their front four, with C.J. Mosley out, opting out on the season, their star linebacker, with Avery Williamson out, you know, you could attack the linebackers in the secondary. So they start the game at 10 personnel and hurry up, tire out that defensive line like they wanted to. The pass rush, Josh Allen at times, especially later in drives, felt like he had all day to throw back there, and a lot of that is wearing out that defensive line and attacking that secondary and showing off your brand-new weapon in Stephon Diggs and two receivers that Josh Allen, it shows, still has a great rapport with Cole Beasley and John Brown.
Eric Wood with us. Eric, can you talk about how Allen's ability as a runner makes other things on the offense easier or even possible? Like, here, we're in the end of the season now, and maybe the subject that fans want to talk about the most is Allen's running. We know he's great at it. We know he fumbles. That happened twice yesterday. And, of course, also a lot of people think, well, it's just logical to think he'd be at more risk of injury. But one reason for doing it, I think, would be what it can open up for you otherwise. How do you see it?
Yeah, that's a great point. It does open up other things, and what it opens up is, the run game for the running backs. You have to account for the quarterback in most plays. That holds that backside defensive end. In the pass game, it slows down their rush. Defensive ends know they can't just go blow by the quarterback because Josh Allen could always escape. It dictates a lot of coverage because it becomes really tough to run man-to-man defense against a quarterback that can run like Josh Allen. And then when you do get man-to-man defense, it should have some type of pressure with it to try and, A, make them get the ball out quick and not be able to wait around and make a decision to run. So it dictates a lot of things when the quarterback can run like Josh Allen can. Yes, there are injury concerns as Josh Allen's career progresses. Should he maybe run the ball less, take less shots? Absolutely. But at this point of his career, let's let him play to his strength. Is he a top five pocket quarterback in the league right now? Maybe not. But he's competitive as all get out. He's super athletic. He's a top five running quarterback in the league, I would assume. And let him play to his strengths.
Yeah, my biggest criticism about the running, like, I'm not scared of him running. I said in the first hour of our show today, Eric, that I don't think I'd even want him to play if he didn't run. It's that valuable. It adds that much, I think, to his game and then their game offensively. But at 21-0, the second fumble play, like that turns out to be his final rushing attempt of the game, aside from the two kneel downs at the end, which count as rushing attempts. So maybe they got there, but at 21-0, that's not a spot I really want to have him running. Like if I'm playing the game and I got to do, you know, use all my stuff because it's a competitive game, fine. But at 21-0 late in the second quarter, I don't know that I need to be calling designed runs for Josh Allen.
No, I see your point 100%, and that's almost the identical play. It was going towards the right side in the playoff game, but the one that Josh took a really big shot on kind of shook him up for the rest of the game from what I saw. So, yeah, I see your point 100%. And, you know, some of the runs he had during the game were quarterback read plays, and Josh is so competitive. You know, he's going to keep a lot of those. He wants to keep the ball in his hands. He knows he's an effective runner. And then I see what Brian Daboll's doing. So if I'm an offensive coordinator and I have a guy like Josh Allen, I want him scrambling towards the sideline. I want him getting out of bounds. I want him getting down on the ground. That was a sweep to the boundary. You would think, you know, you can get him towards the boundary where he's not going to take a shot like that. But, you know, you live and learn. And maybe next time you don't call that play because that cornerback, if not blocked, and that's a tough block on the outside because you have to sustain it for so long, if he could take a shot. And honestly, I was a little less concerned about the fumble and more concerned about the shot he took because he flipped over and then his leg hit another defender. And to me, I don't even want to say it out loud, but bad things can happen when your leg's kind of dangling like that and the side of it hits another defender.
Yeah, you've got experience in that, I think, right? One other thing, unfortunately. One thing on his mobility I wanted to ask you about today, Eric, and that's whether or not they might scheme – to have him beat a free guy. There were a couple of plays yesterday where he made a guy coming in unblocked miss, and he can do that. And there's probably value in that, right? If you haven't allotted somebody to that guy, then maybe, you know, that's somebody else that can be doing something else that is helping your offense. Would it surprise you? Like, am I nuts to think that they might just sort of draw it up and go, okay, well, Josh, you're going to have to make this linebacker miss, okay? And go from there. Like, is that something you design, or is that just happenstance?
I think that just happens. So when you get a free runner like that, you either beat him with the throw, or you try and do what Josh Allen does. And it kind of reminds me of Ben Roethlisberger in the pocket, to where the free rusher, one free rusher, rarely brings Josh down. Now at times it rushes him, it can get him into a bad decision. But, man, he did such a phenomenal job maneuvering the pocket yesterday, keeping his eyes down the field, and then, as I mentioned earlier, scrambling towards the sideline on most of his QB scrambles from the pass plays. But, I honestly don't think that they would ever try and plan and allow those free rushes to come unless they were going to beat him with a throw. So that does happen a lot of times, to your point. Hey, we're not going to sit at the line and try and guess every play where Greg Williams is going to bring someone. But if someone comes and we're not sliding the line that way, or if we don't have a running back for him, either beat him with a throw or you're going to have to go make a miss. And to your point, Josh Allen's very good at making those guys miss.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a run on the right sideline on a 3rd and 8 for a first down, just tiptoeing on the sideline and turning his hips to be able to get upfield. Like, that's really, really good stuff.
Right. The reason I mentioned the thing about making the guy miss is because, like, I get very excited, and I do think about Roethlisberger, and I'm glad you mentioned him, Eric. Like, you make that guy miss, then I'm thinking about somebody running free downfield because maybe DBs were expecting the blitz to get home, and so they're maybe a little thinking they only got to cover for, you know, 2 seconds as opposed to four, and suddenly Allen's rolling out to his right, and, like, I need Diggs or Brown just, like, streaking down the field. Like, that's a big play possibility.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And one of the things I noticed yesterday is, and I noticed all last season too, but it just showed up again yesterday, on the scrambles, John Brown becomes so available for Josh Allen to where he never gives him a throw back across his body. I know a lot of the times John Brown's already on that side of the field. It makes it easier. And maybe Josh Allen knows to roll out to the side of John Brown when it happens. But I feel like John Brown just does a great job of breaking off whatever route he's doing on the scramble and then making himself available towards the sideline. So Josh has a safe throw, so the ball either goes out of bounds or John Brown's in a position to make the catch. But I can't remember how many times last year they converted first downs off scrambles with John Brown just in perfect position down the field, almost like it was supposed to happen.
Right. With Eric Wood again this season, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog on WGR. So, Eric, if you didn't know that there weren't any preseason games when you sat down to watch football yesterday, do you think you would have noticed?
No, honestly. I mean, during the 1 o'clock hour with me doing the Bills postgame coverage, I was pretty locked into that one, even though I would have loved to have multiple TV screens going to see that Patriots Dolphins game and do some scouting there. And then I always love watching my boy Lamar Jackson play, but I was locked into that Bills game, so I can't comment on them all. But what I saw from the Bills is pretty sharp execution, but that was expected. You know, as much continuity as they have, as many returning starters, you know, the way they operate, I didn't expect there to be a huge drop off. Seemed like Sam Darnold and his receivers had obviously had a tough day, and it seemed like early Sam Darnold was off. And I don't know if you can blame that on the preseason. You know, it's windy in Orchard Park. I don't know what you want to blame that on, but he missed a number of throws. And now, granted, the Bills' defensive line did a great job of moving him off of the spot on almost every passing attempt, which is a phenomenal job by them. But I thought they were off. But, no, I thought the Bills, you know, you couldn't necessarily tell that they didn't have any preseason games.
Yeah, I admit that it's a loaded question because for a long time, in the course of every summer, Bulldog and I are talking about the merits of the preseason, and most coaches will say the same things about it, why it's important. And the one thought I've had in my head forever has been, wait a minute, Ohio State will not play any preseason games. They will roll out within the first 2 weeks, they're playing some other nationally ranked team. If they lose, that might be their season. Like, they might need to be undefeated to get, this is going back before the playoff, but, you know, you get the point.
Right.
And it's young guys, and it's way more players. Why don't they have to have 5 preseason games? You know, they just don't have them, and they go ahead. And I feel like one thing about the NFL yesterday, I watched a lot of the other games too. The night game was excellent. I mean, I don't know. How could you have looked at NFL games yesterday and thought, I think people were ready to say it too, Eric. Like, you can tell that they haven't had practice games.
Right. So. Yeah, no, I see your point completely. And there's a lot of veterans in the NFL that would be right alongside of you, and there's probably a lot of undrafted college free agents and a lot of rookies right now that are probably saying the other thing, like,
yeah,
hey, I would have had a better shot of making the team, or, you know, I would have had a better shot of contributing in week one had there been a preseason. I could have showed what I could do in a game.
Sure.
But all that being said, I think the no preseason, I've been saying it for months, I think it only helps the Bills because they've assembled a team of guys that take care of business in the offseason. They knew they were going to be training. And then, you know, with the amount of restarters that they have returning on both sides of the ball, I mean, there was very few guys yesterday. Gilliam, the fullback, maybe a couple guys on special teams, and then Gabe Davis, the rookie receiver. But they weren't relying on hardly anybody that hasn't had significant NFL action.
Right.
Eric, I'm wondering, you know, we've talked a lot on this show, and I don't recall how many times it would have come up when you were a regular with us for all those seasons. The 300-yard passing game, like your career as a Bill, there weren't a lot of them, especially from like 2014 on. And yesterday there was one. How cognizant are players on offense or on the team of that? Do they pay attention to it at all? Was it ever a thing you guys talked about? And is it a big deal for the offense that Josh got to 312 yards yesterday?
No, it's definitely not something you're paying attention to during the course of a game. Maybe if it gets out of hand and you're smoking somebody, you check out the stats during the game, peek up at the scoreboard. It gets a lot easier now that everyone wants to play fantasy football, and they put a lot more stats up in the stadium during the game now than when I started my career. But, you know, we're not really worried about it during the game, and honestly, we weren't that worried about it, at least not from an O-line perspective. And I was always good buddies with the quarterbacks. I knew they weren't worried about it too. But, hey, it's a milestone achievement. It's like – in baseball, a multi-home run game, whatever it may be, you know, you want the team to win, and then afterwards you celebrate those types of things. And that's a great game for Josh Allen. I'm actually really, really, really glad that his first 300-yard game came in a win as well. It would have been kind of tainted if his first game was the Bills trying to climb back in the second half, running a bunch of hurry-up offense against a prevent, which, you know, I don't want to throw guys I played with under the bus, but I feel like some of those 300-yard games that I blocked for came in those situations.
There haven't been many. Their last win when the quarterback threw for 300 was a game that was maybe best remembered for a laser pointer. Does that tip off, Eric, which game?
Yeah, Detroit.
Detroit.
Detroit, Kyle Orton.
That's it. 6 years ago was their last win when they had a 300-yard passer, and they've only had two, maybe three losses since then. So, Eric, you mentioned Lamar Jackson as one of your guys, Louisville. Tom Brady, you've talked about Brady with us over the years, and you know you've said a lot of nice things about him, and you've talked about having some sort of a friendship or relationship with him. You tweeted yesterday, are Bills fans rooting for him in Tampa? And you know, that seemed like a sincere question. Then you tweeted about how you were enjoying the responses, some of which were like, are you kidding? But I think it's a good question. Like, so what did you find out about this?
I found out that Bills fans truly hate Tom Brady, no matter what jersey he's in. And they want bad things to happen to him, just no matter what. But honestly, it was hilarious. And, yes, I've had just a crazy amount of respect for the sacrifice Tom Brady makes to get to this point in his career, be playing at that level. Just the amount of time, energy, and resources he puts into being ready on the field, I just have a tremendous amount of respect for. But, I found it really entertaining, and I'm still getting responses to it, which is just absolutely priceless.
I'm only bringing this up because you said that you're enjoying that. I mean, maybe I wouldn't have brought it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
no.
Today,
I definitely enjoyed it.
Today, Bruce Arians kind of called him out, and he paraphrasing his point about the game was, like his original point about the game was, well, Brady didn't look like that in practice, and what they showed us, we were ready for. And he sort of backtracked a little bit, but it's still like stunning that that would be said at all, I think, by any coach at this point. But it did happen. So how do you see them? It wasn't a great day.
No, it wasn't a great day for him, and it's going to be interesting. There's it's a shame it happened at this point of his career that he moved on from Belichick for a few reasons. One, it would have been great for the Bills if he would have moved on to the NFC a long time ago. And then two, we don't get to have the true, like, was it Belichick or was it Brady debate. But if Tom fails with all of the talent they have down there, and Bill Belichick with the most opt-outs in the league and Cam Newton coming in July to be their quarterback, all those things said, if they have a good season this year, the arrow up would be pointing in Belichick's favor.
Yeah, I responded to your question, too, with I threw up in my mouth a little bit, I think is what I said, the idea of rooting for Brady. But as you lay that out, like, I liked the question, too. I mean, I was trying to be funny, like, responding that way, because I can't find my way to root for him while I'm watching him play. But in a conversation like we're having right now here at, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the day after football games, I don't want Belichick's legend to grow either. So, like, if he ends up being right about Brady, that's not going to be good for me either. Like, I might be screwed either way. You know, I watch either of those people participate in NFL football, and, yeah, I won't get graphic here, but I don't want them to be successful. I'll just say that. And Brady failing will, in a certain way, validate Belichick, and I don't need that for Belichick, that's for sure.
No, I agree with all that assessment.
What about Newton there, Eric?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how effective they are. You know, they caught him off guard with some, you know, different type for Josh McDaniels. It's a little different looking offense yesterday. Most quarterback runs they've had in a really long time, 15 for Cam Newton. Throws for 155. They're used to, you know, with Brady, they're always over 200 yards passing. And, you know, we'll see how it works out there. You know, it's time will tell how good the Dolphins are, if that ends up being a quality win or not. Dolphins definitely added some talent, had a bunch of draft picks the last couple of years, but we'll see how that all shakes out. But it's an interesting they're a fascinating team to watch right now with all the people that have opted out. They hold the Dolphins to 11 points and do enough on offense to win, and we'll see if week to week they kind of progress on offense or people figure them out. And if Cam Newton at this point of his career is pretty limited in his ability to throw the ball down the field, they might be in trouble.
We'll see. Good start. Both teams, the Bills and the Patriots, I'm just taken by this, like co-favorites just about to win the division. And they both open with the other division rivals at home and each win by 10. So really not easy to separate the Bills and the Patriots after yesterday either. Very good. Eric, it's great to have you back on, as we've said. Any questions for us?
Nope, not this week, but maybe I'll come prepared next week.
We'll be ready just in case. Thanks, Eric.
Good deal. Thanks, guys.
There's Eric Wood, his appearance there on the Western Hotline on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you, and by Jim's Stakeout, Western New York's best steak hoagies since 1981.
I'll give you something about where the Bills are right now that I'm sort of impressed with, taken by, a certain other way to put it. Beginning of the show, we talked about how many fans, teams fans, are happier with their team right now than Bills fans are with the Bills. The organization, the players, like, people are in a pretty happy place. There's another way of looking at that just illustrates that, I think. We were taking calls in the first hour, went to Eric. We're ready for more of your thoughts at 803-0550. Allen's running. There's a poll up on Twitter at WGR550, whether you want to see him do as much of it or less of it. And last I looked, that was like near a 50-50 split. The kicker is another story from yesterday's game. The rookie, Tyler Bass, who missed two officially. 803-0550 for us. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's exciting. He's still got a little bit of kid in him. So when he's out there having fun. And I enjoy it. I'm always in his ear trying to, like, keep that positive energy going. I can't imagine how hard it is to play quarterback. But when I see him out there having a good time, it gives me a little bit pushing it back, a little bit of motivation to say, you want to play for this guy. You want to go hard for this guy because he's damn sure going hard for you.
Stephon Diggs in his Bills debut, 8 for 89. Nice. Bills over the Jets, 27-17. The Bills ran 87 plays. By comparison, Jacksonville, which won its game, ran 50. Not even close. Minnesota, 52. And the Jets here, 56 to the Bills, 87. The Bills had 31 first downs, which is their fourth most in history. Tied for their fourth most in history in a game. The only three games in which the Bills had more first downs than they had yesterday. Third place, the season opener in 1991, a 35-31 win over the Dolphins. Great game, great day. to open the 91 season. They had 33. They had 34 in the game against Oakland that they won right at the end. Fitzpatrick, that howl.
Oh, right.
That sound
that
he made.
That was like the week before New England?
Yes.
Right.
Week two
okay.
of 2011. And the record for first downs by the Bills in a game is my most hated loss from the drought at Foxborough. 2012, 35 first downs. Brady on the sideline going, we are going to lose to Buffalo at home. And the interception right at the end. So Fitzpatrick memories, and he's up next.
Right, right. Please give us bad fits. You know, the Bills defense is pretty good, right? So I shouldn't necessarily need bad fits to beat Miami or contain him, but it'd be
correct.
Nice if he just threw it to the Bills a bunch of times. I would enjoy that.
He struggled yesterday. Devontae Parker probably misses this game, it would seem. And the Bills are I want to double check before I say it. 5.5-point favorite. They were 3.5 on Friday when we talked to Evan Abrams about week two. And we talked about some of the strategy in betting week two lines the week ahead. So
right.
if you felt like, I told him I thought Miami would get killed. They didn't get killed. They didn't cover. That, 3.5, we sort of talked about it. Like, Bills minus 3.5 for week two might be soft. And yesterday it went up 2 points. The combination
of the two
games.
If you were confident the Bills were going to blow out the Jets and you're a gambler, getting on Bills minus 3.5 at Miami would have been a play for you.
Right.
You had to have the piece where, you'd be guessing they're going to blow out the Jets.
It wasn't a blowout.
10-point win.
Yeah.
It wasn't a blowout. It felt like it was on the verge of being a blowout all afternoon, and it just never they never were able to get that last shot off,
Right, right.
But still, it was a comfortable win for sure.
Yep. 803-0550 is the number here. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Buffalo Bills Football Monday on WGR. Here for your calls going towards 7 o'clock. We have Matt with us now. Hi, Matt.
I'm here, guys. How are you?
Hi, Matt. Good.
Good, Matt. Thank you.
Good. I just got one question and, two questions and a comment. The first thing is off the Bills. If Toronto, the Blue Jays, make the playoffs, which it looks like they're going to do, and God forbid they make the World Series, would the games be here, or would they change it somewhere else? If you have any idea,
I don't know the very latest on that. There was talk of a playoff bubble for baseball to go to like what hockey and basketball did, but I don't think anything's been announced officially.
But how about the first round of the playoffs? Would they be in Buffalo? Do you think?
Don't know. Same answer.
We don't know. There's a possibility that they will go to a bubble format, but
right.
There's also a possibility they won't, and you get some playoff games here. Why do you ask?
Okay. I was just wondering. Okay.
Oh, okay. I was waiting for you to connect it to the Bills in some way, but there isn't one, and that's my bad. I was assuming there was going to be a connection. I'm so focused on football today that I wasn't even thinking. So forgive me. Okay. Yeah.
The Brady. I want him to succeed because I want the NFC South to know what we went through for the last 20 years.
Well, not off to a great start in that way because they went and played probably the best team in the division, and they got beat. They got really beat. I mean, it was a good start, but 34-17. Wasn't there a play? I missed the end, and I saw people talking about it. Did Kamara score a third touchdown that they didn't give him, Joe? Was there?
I don't know.
Okay, maybe. Whatever. They got beat. So, I mean, he's 43. It can't be that surprising if he's not amazing, It just can't be that surprising. But we hear you, Matt. Thank you. I don't know what's going to happen with the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably, depending on the day you talk to me, liable to give you a different answer each time it comes up on Brady, Belichick, how I want that to go, my emotions about it. I'm all tangled up. But watching him yesterday, I loved seeing him struggle. I can't deny it. I loved seeing him struggle. Frankly, both, really, Breeze did not look real good either yesterday. I mean, they piled up points, but I think that 40-year-old quarterback division is on watch, I think.
Sure. First ever game between two starting quarterbacks over 40. I mean, Breeze is 40. Are you over 40 as soon as you're 40?
Yes. That's how it works.
Oh, God. I don't want to get my mom involved. I don't want to debate that. Just leave it. I said.
No, I answered like someone who's been over 40 for 15 years.
Yes. Except for the speed with which you answered the question. Yes. I said before sports, another way of sort of feeling good about them. What one is, how many fan bases are happy with their teams? It's not that many. It might be a half dozen or so, but it's kind of a happy place right now here. And there's a lot of optimism, but not all the pressure that some teams that are like always good might feel, or those fans might feel. You know, we want to get there. Another way of looking at it is, so the Bills, including by me, for many years were compared with certain other franchises that are just loser franchises. Like the Bills had this way of not being terrible, but neither being like relevant good. Just sort of being, you know, in the hunt, ha ha ha, 5-7's in the hunt, you know? So many of those years were like that. 2020 starts, and look at the Browns. Mm-hmm. The Browns have another new coach. They drafted their quarterback in the same draft, first overall. They traded for Odell Beckham. They added Kareem Hunt. We will not stop at stockpiling pieces. And I fall for it. Like, I love teams that do that. I mean, just go get more good players. Who knew what the coaches, each of these coaches was going to be? Like, that I would have also said. But love teams that are just all about getting the most talent. And it looked like they have been doing that. And Mayfield was not crazy at one, you know, he was great in college. He was plenty accurate. He was a good mover. He was like, okay, analytics liked him. Okay, character stuff. I don't think that's getting him beat. I don't know. I don't know his preparation. But Bulldog, this season starts, and the two quarterbacks picked above Allen in that draft, Mayfield and Darnold. Holy cow. And the point I was thinking of before is kind of along the same lines. The Browns, the Jets, the Lions.
The Lions, if you want them, was 17-point fourth quarter lead
exactly
yesterday. And
exactly
dropped. Their rookie running back dropped the winning touchdown in the end zone.
Right in his hands.
And it wasn't even a hard catch. He just dropped it.
Right. That's the point. The Browns, the Jets, the Lions, these are not like the only loser franchises, but they are loser franchises. And all of these teams started their season, and holy cow, for different reasons. The Jets are taking a delay of game penalty out of a commercial. I mean, are you not? You're just not ready. Like, you
right.
Just, the quarterback, decisions he made, timing, just terrible. The Browns lose 38-6. The Browns want to think one of these years they can like actually compete. They go to Baltimore. Wow, Baltimore was great, but will they stay great? 38-6. Again, I've got Robert Griffin playing in the fourth quarter of a Baltimore game. And then you have Detroit, as you mentioned, which found its own original way of losing to a Mitch Trubisky team at home. Like, you know, these teams, the season starts and you'll find that conversation about these teams that just stay bad. And the Bills have graduated. They have moved out of that neighborhood, to say the least. And, you know,
yes, they like this point a lot. They definitely have.
They have. They could get sent back. I mean, who knows? This doesn't last forever, and they don't have, like, a long tradition of winning. It's what, obviously, they're hoping to be starting. But, man, you are just not in that neighborhood anymore. And those teams still are, I think. So, not a great start for teams that, you know, you're a fan of those teams like we have been here, and you have a new season, and you're just, like the year Mario Williams showed up. We're like, you know, wouldn't it be great if one of these years the Bills were not mentioned like that, they were not thought of like that, they were actually good, and here they went and spent on the best free agent in free agency, and they just broke the bank, most money ever paid to a defensive player, flashes in 2011. Here comes 2012. They go and play the Jets, and they get crushed. Like, that's the Browns today. Or the Browns have just been there forever. The Browns have won one opener since they were reborn.
Oof.
One.
How many years is that now?
It's like 21 years.
120 and one.
One? They have a tie. That's cute. 120 and one is their week one record, Joe says, since what? Whatever that. They lost to Pittsburgh. I think 51 to nothing was the score of their first game when they came back in the league. 99? Or 2000, maybe it was. Whatever. Ah! 99.
Yeah,
120 and one.
Yeah.
Don't you get to? Don't you play Cincinnati ever?
Right, in an opener.
Don't you play the Jets? Anyway, right?
And the Lions last year collapsed in their opener too, and ended up tying.
Yeah, Arizona.
Was that Arizona?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
And that happened yesterday.
Right.
To Trubisky.
Right.
Oh, that's gotta suck. Right, like you had a lot of fun. You might have had a lot of fun this summer, like the rest of the league did. Sort of point looking at the Bears, like, oh, what are they going to do? They are screwed. Look at this. They put Trubisky in, not the guy that they spent for all the money on to replace him. They put Trubisky in and win a game like that. Anyway, that is humiliating.
Right, and he wins it. Like, I mean, he throws the dagger. The game-winning touchdown is a great throw by Trubisky. And then you can't really blame Stafford. He put the ball there. The kid couldn't catch it.
That was a great throw, too, that Stafford pass, you know. Then the last play, he gives himself no chance. Like, he's just back there for so long. Feels like you just give your – I think you have one play to score from the 20 or whatever that is. They did a great job getting the pass to Swift right there like that. It should have been the winner. But it's just you got to get it out of there quick, right? Just throw it to a spot. I don't know. It seems like the more time you wait back there, the more trouble you might be in. I'm not sure that's true. Just how it felt watching it. 803-0550. Back to your calls after a break. Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. WGR.
I think Brian Daboll's done a very good job throughout his tenure of trying to attack the opponent's weaknesses. Going into that game, the strength of that defense was going to be their front four. With C.J. Mosley opting out on the season, their star linebacker, with Avery Williamson out, you could attack the linebackers in the secondary. So they started the game at 10 personnel and hurry up, tire out that defensive line like they wanted to, the pass rush. Josh Allen at times, especially later in drives, felt like he had all day to throw back there, and a lot of that is wearing out that defensive line and attacking that secondary and showing off your brand-new weapon, it's Stephon Diggs.
Eric Wood back on with us Mondays here on WGR through the season. Hope you enjoyed that. You may get a second chance. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sneaky Joe. So great to have all the action back yesterday. Just no fans was, for some of us, distracting and sad. And all those fantasy matchups, Bulldog. Wow. How could you keep up? Maybe that's why you didn't think about the empty seats so much, because you had your fantasy action to monitor.
I'm almost sure it wasn't that. I don't know. I really will want to figure out. I do like to figure out, like, why am I reacting this way? Why am I feeling this way? Like, I maybe often bog myself down thinking too much about stuff like that instead of just, you know, letting it be. But I only had the one team, and we cruised. I mean, it wasn't.
Did
even,
you?
yeah. We still have Gordon going tonight. We don't even need him. Like, I could pull him and rest him, I suppose. I don't know.
Listen to this confidence, Joe. Do you hear that? Doesn't even need
rest him.
He's going to rest
him. By cruise, I mean, I had to survive. We played Paul Hamilton, and he had Prescott, Elliott, and Gallup.
Mm.
So that long pass that got overturned on or got flagged for offensive pass interference was maybe not insignificant in our game. So cruised. We were cruising in the afternoon. The evening it got a little tight, but we still are ahead.
You remember my interest in last night's game from last week's conversation, do you not?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Was that ever fun? Guess who doesn't have to drive to Pennsylvania tomorrow morning? I mean, that over-under, 51.5, And for much of that game, it looked touch and go. I mean, it's the McCarthy decision to go for it where they got stopped, which was a smart decision by analytics. But for me, needing the under, for them to get stopped there was huge. And there no points were ever scored after that in the game. Yep. There were 12 minutes left.
Right. I needed them to get stopped because I didn't want any of those three people to score. Like, you know, the drive before that, I think the Prescott thought he scored, and then instead Elliott scored. I'm like, well, that doesn't really help me at all. These people keep scoring. So I was pretty relieved when they turned it over on downs, too.
Here's Joe with us. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Just work.
Happy Victory Monday. I think I've been listening.
Yeah.
Today. It sounds a little sweeter when we got a W. I had a question and a comment. I guess I'll go with the comment first and the question. As a Bills fan, the doubt always creeps in. How big is Poyer? I mean, I think that forced fumble was – I never thought the Jets were going to do anything, but that was just a huge play. I mean, that guy does everything.
They are really nice at safety.
Yeah, Hyde, Poyer, you kind of know that on the back end we're always covered. And then my question was, I saw a stat or a tweet today, Trey White only 76% of the defensive snaps. I'm assuming he was pulled, or do you know anything else that was kind of going on with Trey?
I didn't hear anything worrisome about him. It didn't look like a game to me where he was going to be like the big factor that you pay him to be because of who they were playing and how the Jets operate. Crowder is the guy that turned out. Crowder would be the number one receiving target, and he plays in the slot. So, you know, not exactly your classic game for Trey White. I don't know what exactly explains him not playing more often, but they do rotate guys a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, that might have been just the, you know, towards the end of the game, they just decided to not worry about using Trey White anymore. I don't know. I had not heard. I'll check with Sal on that at some point. I did not notice that, and I had not seen. I saw the offensive player breakdowns, but I did not notice the defensive snap counts.
Sean McDermott said today that neither Matt Milano nor Tremaine Edmonds' injuries seem long-term, and so day-to-day. No specifics. That's typical. We've learned to live this way. But, you know, so let's hold them to doesn't appear to be long-term, which would mean what? Maybe they don't play this week or even the next week, but then by 3 weeks is significant enough for I would want him to sound different.
Well, sure. I think 3 weeks is where, you go on IR. That's what Norman went on IR, and he can't play the next 3 weeks. So if it's under that, then I think you keep them away from IR. And so I would assume that means you think they have a chance to play within that 3 week window. I have no idea what to do with this week. We'll hear. It'll be one of those things we'll start monitoring all through the week. Like, where's the injury report? Did he practice? Was he limited? Blah, blah, blah. Like, that's where we'll be. And even with all that, I'm going to guess that when we get done with our broadcast week on Friday, we'll be wondering, well, maybe both guys or one guy will be ruled out. Maybe there'll be game time decisions. I don't know. I never count on clarity on this stuff. It's gotten worse over the years. So I just don't expect to know whether the guy's going to play or not by the time we're done this week.
Does Josh Allen running so often bother you? Do people who are bothered by Josh Allen running so often bother you? 803-0550, Buffalo Bills Football Monday continues next on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.